Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
I'm excited. We're preaching the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is pretty exciting. Last week, I preached one of my favorite chapters. And we're moving on to another chapter, but the book of Mark is one of the four Gospels. The Gospels are the story of Jesus. It's a narrative. It's basically like reading a story. So the rest of the books can be history, poetry, prophetic. They can be letters to people that we get to kind of read and talk about Christian living and how we should live our lives. But the book of Mark is a story of Jesus. I love that because when you begin to look at how Jesus lived, we begin to see what our life should probably look like. And I heard one person say that Jesus is perfect theology. So sometimes we're trying to figure out what we should believe and how we should act and all of that. And the Bible says in Colossians that God actually revealed his nature and who he was and what he was like when he gave us Jesus. And so if you're wondering how God would act if he were on earth, you need to look take a good hard look at Jesus, because that's the way God would act if he was on the earth. How would he handle situations? How would he treat people? What would he be concerned with? How would he spend his time if he was on earth? He would do it like Jesus did it. And so the Bible says that as we are revealed who God is in Jesus, that actually we reveal more of ourselves to us. This is really deep. Because we become like and in Christ as we become followers of Jesus. So this is super deep, but it's this, is that when God looks at Jesus, when God looks at you and you're in Christ, he's actually seeing Jesus. So when we look in the mirror, we kind of go, well, I got, you know, a little extra right here and I need to take care of that. Oh man, the bags around my eyes right here. I need to get a new eye cream, ladies. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like you start looking, oh man, I got my hair. I got this gray hair right here. I need to pluck out, that keeps growing, you know, whatever that is. Like, we start to look at what we're not, and what God is like is he actually looks at us and he sees the perfection of Jesus when we are in him. That's a really deep concept. So it's important for us to know what we're like at our core, and how we do that is by looking at Jesus. That's a whole sermon in itself. I could write 19 books on that perspective alone. So when I was a young man, about 35, 36, I decided that if Jesus shows me who God is, I want to spend as much time as I can thinking, reading, and studying about Jesus. And so I took the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read them as many times as I could. Okay, so you're always like, oh, what should I read? I don't know. I needed a good book. I need a good chapter to read. Can somebody give me a good Bible study? Here's a good Bible study. Read all four Gospels as many times as you can in a month. And what you're going to find out is there's stuff in there that you never thought imaginable. People are like, well, Jesus, he was just kind and gentle. No, Jesus was like lashing out at people. Like, Jesus had a way of confronting people and looking at people. And there's all sorts of stuff. I'm going to show you a passage today that's going to kind of probably blow your mind. Jesus has a way of stirring things up. And when you begin to really soak in who Jesus is, then you go, wait a second. The Bible says, I am in Christ. And so this nature, this person of Jesus, is actually in me. This person of power, this person of authority, this person of love, this person of compassion, this person of more than enough, this person is filled by the Holy Spirit and doing good and destroying the works of Satan is actually what I am like. So I encourage you to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as many times as you can, and then just pick a subject. Pick love, and every time love comes up, just start taking notes on that. Every time healing comes up, just start taking notes on that. Every time the kingdom comes up, every time God comes up, anytime those subjects come up, and then each time you read it, discover a different subject. So for me, it was healing, and then it was spirit, and then it was love. And then it was devil, and then it was Satan, and then it was demons. And then I just went through all of these subjects, and I kept reading and reading and reading and taking notes. It's like, I never knew that was in there. So the depths of it. So the beauty of the Gospels are that they show us who Christ is, and because we're in Christ, it shows us who we should be. And deeper than that, it shows us who we are, but oftentimes neglect simply because we don't know who Jesus is. You may not get that yet, but if you do what I tell you, you will be like, oh my gosh, Brandon is right. Who knew it? The four Gospels. We're taking a lot of time on Mark, and we're studying through Mark. The beauty of Mark, for me, is the simplicity and the potency. The simplicity and the potency. And today, Jesus is wrapping up a story where he kind of does this long teaching about, you know, seeds and he talks about farming and he talks about all this stuff, and half the people get it and half the people don't. And his disciples are like, we're not sure what you meant by that, Jesus, but could you explain it to us? And he's like, if you don't get this parable, how can you get any other parable? If you didn't hear that message, it will be on the podcast, so check that out. So Jesus is talking about seeds, he's talking about harvest, and the disciples are like, what did you mean by that? And he just goes into about how we can cultivate what God has put in us if we take care with it. And so this next passage is short and is sweet, but Jesus packs so much power in it simply by telling us about what we are supposed to do with who Jesus is. So if you turn your Bible to Mark chapter 4 and verse 21, he said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. It's alive, powerful. It is active and moving. It is bubbling up inside of us. I pray that it cuts deep into our soul and divides the truest versions of us. I pray that it comes alive and becomes more than we ever thought imaginable as we water it, as we tend to it, and look to it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is one of those passages, I mean, we could take probably each sentence of this and take it way out of context. There's people that have these statements just, you know, floating around all over the place. Like, he said to them, do you bring a lamp, put under a bowl or a bed instead? And he says, if it's hidden, it's meant to be disclosed. I'm like, yep, yeah, God's got your number. He knows if it's hidden, it's meant to be disclosed. Does it mean that in this passage? Not necessarily. But is what's hidden in your life going to be disclosed eventually? Yes. Okay? So a lot of times we just go, oh, yeah, we got that. And we divide this up into our Christian mind, our kind of Bible interpretive mind, to go, yep, I know what he means. I know what he means. I know what he means. But in the context of what's happening across the seed and the harvest, and he just starts to talk about himself, we begin to see that Jesus is going much deeper than we'll really give him credit for. He actually says, if you have ears to hear, let you hear. Let them hear. It's like God is talking, and if you have the openness, the ability to soften your ears and your heart towards him, what is happening is that he is going to show you and take you places that the average person will not go. He is going to bring you to a place that's higher and deeper in him. It's a place that nobody else that around you is probably going, simply by you cultivating the attitude of hearing. Simply by you growing and learning how to take carefully and consider what God is saying to you for your life. He actually says this. He says, here's the Son of Man, Jesus. He comes down. He's the light of the world. Now, we like this passage because we think of Christians as people who are going to conquer and we're the light of the world, you know, spread the light, whatever. But what he's actually saying is that the purpose of light is to light something up. Okay? You'd be ludicrous to take something that has value and hide it away, right? So we talk about, you're the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. And Jesus talks about that. And we think, oh yeah, we're the light of the world. It's excellent. But in this passage, he's actually referring to himself as something that is valuable that many of us don't ever use, right? So this week and last week and the week before that and maybe a couple times in between, like, Excelsior Springs has been without power, right? You know how I know? Facebook told me. Everybody on Facebook told me. I didn't have the heart to put on there, like, all of Excelsior is without power. I just wanted to say, like, not me. crazy thing about that is, like, I had power and I left the house. You know, like, everybody else is, like, stuck in their house, no power. They want coffees. Like, I've had 3 coffees already. I've been to Kansas City. I've been to Liberty. Brought 8 coffees already. Not really. We take for granted light because we have it all the time. And then all of a sudden it's gone and everybody's like, no power. I need a battery coffee maker. How do I brush my teeth? I can't see. You know, my phone's about to die. I don't know what to do if my phone dies. Like, people just like crazy when they don't have power. They don't know what to do. We take for granted these things that happen in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And so Jesus is like, look, he's like, if you're going to light a candle, if you're going to light a lamp, you want to put it in a place where it's effective. You want to reap from its value, right? So I woke up, and actually I didn't have power for a little bit, from about 5:30 to like 6:45. Okay, now what you don't know is that I don't have my air conditioner running because I have a leak in the condenser. And so, you know, you guys are in air conditioning and I'm not, okay? So like at night, I am like a sweaty mess, okay? But finally the heat broke. And so when it rains, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for the rain, okay? And so it's storming and everybody's like, oh, I'm so scared of the storms. I'm like, yes, Jesus, thank you for the storms. I will praise you in this storm. Okay, and so like finally it gets cold and it drops down to like 50 degrees and the air, like the fan is on and I got the fan running, the window's open, my attic fan going. I'm like, man, this feels so good. And then the power stops. Every fan stops and it's like. And so for like an hour and 45 minutes, I was really, really back to sweating again. It's like, oh, Lord. And I'm also one of those people that like the room to be like, you know, negative 30 degrees when I sleep. Like, I want to cover up, and then I want to, like, I can't get out of bed because it's so cold in the room. That's what I want. So here I'm laying there, and I'm without power. And you realize, like, your life has certain things that you kind of lean on, that you trust in, and they're usually artificial things. They're things that are not necessarily things that are of great value, but you have learned to trust them even though they are simple pleasures, not even necessities. So in the morning I woke up, I realized the power was off, and then I woke up and my kids come in my bedroom in the morning, and then so I turn on the TV so that they can be occupied while I sleep longer. But the internet company was down, and so there was no Netflix, there was no chill, there's no Amazon Prime, nothing. And Avery's like, and I'm like, can't help you, girl. So what was so valuable to Avery that she gets to come in and watch Powderpuff Girls in the morning and I get to sleep, like, because Avery gets up at 5 in the morning sometimes, it's like, it was gone, okay? And all I wanted was for the convenience of what was there to be back so that we could exist normally again. And so oftentimes we're in the dark about things, and then it's like, so we light a lampstand, so to speak. We have a purpose, and we bring it, and then we light it, and it'd be ridiculous for us to cover it up, right? Because it brings value. And so Jesus says, he's like, I'm the light. It's like, I come to the world, and it says the world is dark. John says, actually, he comes to the world, and the world doesn't even receive him. They don't understand him. They can't. He says that they perceive him not. It's crazy to think about that Jesus, God made flesh, is right in front of their face. He's doing incredible things, and they do not even see him. So what Jesus is saying is, like, I'm like a lamp, and you set me on the table, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. However, a lot of people are not living like that. He says, because what is covered will eventually be disclosed. And so he comes down, he lives for 33 years, and then he has 3 years of ministry, and he runs around. And a lot of people are like, that's not the Christ. That guy's crazy. We talked about how his family is like, Jesus is out of his mind. Like, send him to the psych ward. Like, they're going to get him. The Pharisees are like, this guy is not the Son of God. And ultimately, when they charge him to kill him, all they can do is say, are you God or not? And he's like, I am. And they're like, And they kill him because of one statement. And it's like eventually they realize, like, he's hanging on a cross dying, and a Roman soldier's like, this guy has to be the Son of God. It's like, well, a little late now. Why didn't you figure that out a little bit ago? See, eventually everything that's covered will come to light. And whatever, like, And deep inside of you, God is always speaking. He's always moving. He's always wanting to draw you to something. And you can keep putting a cover on it. You can keep trying to hide it out. You can keep going, no, God, I don't want that. But eventually it will be disclosed. Sometimes it's disclosed on your deathbed. Sometimes it's disclosed far too late. Sometimes it's you just waking up and going, you know what? I've gone too far and this is not working. And so then you finally respond, and then something incredible happens in your life. You're like, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. But eventually, everything will be disclosed. The purpose of Jesus is to light up the darkness in your life, but most people don't use it like that because they're too comfortable with the conveniences they have. Did you notice when the power was out, you struggled to find all of the things that you had in place for that moment? Where's my candle? Where's my lantern? Where's my... You know, these everything we need, oh my gosh, what about my battery-operated phone charger? What about, you know, because we used to have, what, wall phones? Those work without electricity, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Y'all are like, beep, 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 beep. All of a sudden, the conveniences go away, and you're like, what do I do with my life? Eventually, everything in your life will fade, and you're going to wish you had the lamp on the stand. And Jesus is saying, eventually, that'll be disclosed. And he's like, if you have ears to hear, just hear what I'm saying to you. If you could just listen instead of thinking you have it figured out. If you could just get to a place where you could just hear the deep things that I'm saying to you. That I am everything you need for every moment. That I have the wisdom you need for your situation. That I have the provision for you for that dream. That I have everything lined up in such a way that I'm sovereign. And if you trust my plan, I'll get you from point A to point B. And God is continually speaking these things and doing these things, but unfortunately, we're taking a lit lamp and covering it up. And sooner or later, it will be disclosed. It'll be opened up and it will be revealed. Will it be too late for your situation at that point? Will it be too late for where you are in your life at that point? Could you trust God each step of the way, or are you continually trying to push aside the thing that is the most effective for what you need in that moment? This is what Jesus is saying. So he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then we usually, like, we just kind of tag that on at the end of a sentence, like, hey, check it out. If you listen to me, then it'll do you some good. But he walks into this next statement. He's like, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Now, in light of the passage just before it, where he's talking about seeds and talking about planting, and this is the most important story and lesson you'll ever have in your whole entire life. If you can understand this one, then you'll understand everything. I encourage you to listen to the podcast last week, because what is happening, he's talking about cultivating his word and his purpose and what his life does for you in your life. And if you do that, then you can consider carefully what you hear. I searched how many words people hear per day. Now, a lot of people have a different perspective about how many words you hear. First of all, I found out that women speak about 20,000 words per day, and men speak about 7,000 words per day. The average person hears about 30,000 words per day. Now, that's unique words. So that means that if a word is repeated, they don't count it again. Okay? So that means you could say the millions of times. So 30,000 unique words, and somebody said if you would add up all the words, just a straight count, you would have about 100,000 words per day. Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear. Well, I try to read a verse per day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 words. Awesome. You've got your daily Jesus allotment. Consider carefully what you hear. And then just consider the stuff that you hear that you didn't want to hear. I'm not talking about cuss words. Everybody wants to hear cuss words. It's absolutely true. Just hang out with some people and be like, oh, and then she said, oh, I can't say it. No, you can say it. Go ahead. Just, what did she say? No, I won't even say it. I'm like, just go ahead and say it. I'm a grown person. Right? You want to hear it. Like, oh, I can't believe she say that. 100,000 words per day. Jesus says, consider carefully what you hear. How much of what you hear is even valuable for growing your life? How much of it is actually light for your darkness? Could it be that the words you hear, the things you experience, the things you entertain, the things that you put into your life are actually opposing the result that you want? You wish to get out of darkness, and all you hear is the stuff that keeps you in darkness. When I'm in darkness, the only thing I want to do is try to find out where the light is and put that on the table. Unfortunately, most of us will live in a blackout for far too long, and then our phone is finally dying. It's like, we have got to do something. Don't get to that point. Learn each day to consider carefully what you hear. Jesus says, if you have an ear to hear, then hear. Eventually, it will be disclosed. It'll be out in the open, but it could be too late for what you needed it for. I wish I would have known that then. I wish I would have started 20 years ago. I wish I would have lived this way when I was younger. What could I have done if I would have honored God that first time he called me? And I wanted to with everything, but I didn't. Consider carefully what you hear. We live in a society where when we want to know a certain piece of information, we ask people who we don't know, who have nothing in our lives, no stake in our lives, no kind of value. We just go, hey, what do you guys think about? And we put it on the internet and let people speak into our lives. We spend a lot of time thinking, and we go, you know, I've been thinking a lot. Okay, what have you been thinking about? Have you been considering carefully what you've been hearing? And then we go and sit with a bunch of people who, you know, probably have screwed up their own lives. And we want to find out what they would do if they were in our situation, because we do want somebody to back us up with our stupid ideas. We just keep going around and around and around trying to find out what everybody else would do to speak into our lives. If the people you listen to aren't deeper in God than you, don't listen to them. They have nothing to say to you. If they aren't established in the kind of person in God that you want to be, they're not for you. Not friends. I mean, they're great friends. But they have nothing to speak into a future situation if they're not further along in the future of where you want to be. So Jesus comes down. He's like, look, I'm God. You should probably listen to me. I'm going to set myself up on the stand here. I'm going to light up the darkness. And people are like, I don't think that's what I want to do. Covering up the light for their darkness. Jesus says, consider carefully my words. And this is one of my favorite verses of the Bible for many reasons, but I love it in this context. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you and even more. With the measure that you use of listening, of considering carefully, is the same measure that God goes, okay, I'll give you more of that. So, if all you take is 22 words from one verse for your life-changing situation, God's like, okay, I'll give you 22 words worth. You hear 100,000 per day, but surely my 22 can do something for you. Here you go. And it takes the same measure that you use to hear and gives it back to you. God has answers for your business. God has answers for your marriage. God has answers for your parenting. God has answers for your future. He has answers for your soul. He has answers for your past. He has answers for your guilt. He has answers for your sin. He has answers. It just goes right down the line. Everything. But most of us are just content with a 22-word version. Oh, thank you, sir. May I have another tomorrow? Can I get some more of that? That was so good. Next week. You know what? Church was so good today. Those 22 words were awesome. I'll be there next week. We need to learn to consider carefully what we hear. He says, the same measure that you use to continually draw to yourself what I am already giving is what I'll bless. He actually multiplies it. And the story before, he says, if you can tend to that, you'll get 30, 60, 100-fold return on 22 words. So if I hear 100,000 words per day, and I hear a lot of crap, okay? I hear a lot of crap. I don't even try. I really try not to hear crap. A lot of people, you just sit around and you're trying to hear crap. You want to hear crap. People argue. People bicker. People like, oh, I don't know. What series are we going to watch? You know what's on a series? A bunch of drama that has nothing to do with your life, that makes you feel some kind of way about your drama and cultivates an attitude of darkness. And don't get me wrong. I like to watch 90210 as well. Okay? Dream about being a teenager in Beverly Hills. I mean, it'd be great. But you need to consider carefully what you hear. And here's the thing about hearing. You hear 100,000 words per day, and then you reiterate. The Bible says,
to meditate on his word, which means to ruminate like a cow chews the cud. You actually chew on the words that you hear over and over and over again. And you have a self-chatter in your brain that continually talks and talks and talks about the same things you just heard. So actually, you hear 100,000 words per day, but your inner man is hearing constantly. 100,000 words doesn't even do it justice. Consider carefully what you hear. But the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And then he says, to those who have been given, more will be given. And those that didn't hear, that didn't receive, that don't look to that word, it's taken away. And then you start saying stuff like, I don't think this really works. I don't think that Jesus is actually real. I mean, the Bible, I don't know. I mean, I've tried that and it didn't. And then you find yourself at a bar hanging out with five other people at the bar talking about how you want God in your life, but you can't have God in your life because you're miserable. And there was once a day that you heard so clearly, and now you don't. And you're just going, what is wrong with my life? Well, the Bible says that God's word will not return void. In other words, that he'll take it away if it's not producing. With the same measure that you use is what God will give back to you. The word for repent in the Bible, now most of us know this word repent because we've been around church long enough to know that it means you need to come down here and tell everything you ever did and get yourself right with the Lord before Jesus comes back and you go to hell. That's what we think repent means. And so we come down and we say, we're sorry, oh Lord, I repent. I don't want to go to hell. And then we walk back out and we just live however we want to live. We say, did you repent? Oh, yeah, I repented. I said I was sorry. Thank God I'm a sinner. And then the argument becomes, are you always saved or you lose your salvation? Why? Because we don't live renewed lives. All we care about is that one decision. Did it take or not take? That's not the argument. The argument is this. Did you really change? Because the power of God alive in you changes the way you act. It changes the way you think. It changes everything. And so the word repent doesn't mean come down to an altar and kneel down and say you're sorry and then you're good. Even though that may be part of it. The word repent is actually this Greek word metaneo. And metaneo means to have a change of heart. It means that you actually change your thinking. And if you change your thinking, you can change your life. Even people who are not Christians have figured out if you can change your thinking, you can change your life. Now imagine if you come down and you change your heart towards the Spirit of God, the light on the lampstand every single day, the words that God is speaking to your heart and your life every single day. What happens is that I repent my life. I turn my thinking. I change my thinking to what God is doing in my life. God, if you got something to say for this, I want to know what it is. God, if it can be supernaturally transformed, if my life can change, if I can be better, if I can be more, if I can go greater, if you have a design for my life and I'm living below it, then I want to live in it. I want to know everything you have to say about this situation. And he says, well, listen, you're not really taking care of what I've said. And so I had things for your life, but I had to take them away. I say, well, I repent of that one. Not just I'm sorry, I changed my thinking. God, if that's the way it works, then I want to know how you speak. I want to know how you feel. I want to know what it's like to live life towards others the way that you live towards them. I want to know what it's like to see with Jesus' eyes. I want to know what it's like to walk where Jesus walked. I want to know what it's like to minister and to restore and to revive and to do the things that Jesus did. He said, okay, then you're going to have to consider carefully what you're hearing. What do you mean? The stuff I hear is not that bad. It's like, no, but the stuff you hear is not good, as in it's not righteous. It's not producing what you need in your life. A lot of the stuff in your life is just nebulous. It's just right in the middle, just right in the center. It's just mundane, stupid stuff that you deal with every single day. When people tell me something and they want to keep telling me for the next 15 minutes the same thing they said the first sentence, I just walk away. Oh, okay, all right. Why? You're taking up space. I got 100,000 words and you want to take up how many of them? Because I got stuff I got to hear. Somebody once said, Brandon, every time I see you got your headphones in and people think that I listen to music, I don't listen to music, period. I rarely ever listen to music. The other day, I did put on some music. I listened to Bob Marley. I listened to, sometimes when I cook, I listen to music. So Bob Marley, Justin Timberlake, Michael Jackson. Oh, I think I got a Keith Urban song in there. Oh, and a Darius Rucker, Hootie was on there, right? Songs, that, you know, and you'd be like, Brandon listens to that kind of music? You want to know why? Because I don't even care what plays anymore. You know, like, I used to have like CDs, like booklets of CDs. It's like, oh, check out this song. I was so engrossed in this thing. I was like, it's the stuff you fill in your life with. You fill in, and it's just stuff that's like kind of down the road. It's just like just right down the middle of the road. And you're like, oh, this isn't too bad. This is good. It actually makes me feel good. No, it has no fruit for your life. It has no power to change you. It has no power to change the people around you. It's like, God, do whatever you have to do in me so that people around me can be changed. I want to change the world, and if I can't do it the way I am, then I have to change. And we're so comfortable living right in the middle, not even considering what we're hearing or what we're doing. We're just like, well, if God wants to do it, God will do it. God can do whatever he wants. Yeah, he wants to use you, but you keep going, well, if God wants to, God will. When you read the Gospels this week, this month, you're going to find out Jesus actually wanted to heal people in certain towns, but he couldn't do it there because they didn't believe him. Could you imagine Jesus walking by ES First? Well, I sure would like to do something great with ES First, but they don't believe me. They're waiting for me to do something. And I've already put in them what they need to do the next thing, but they won't consider what they hear. Roadblocks to hearing clearly. Roadblocks to hearing clearly. Number one, and not in any specific order, multitasking. You cannot multitask. Scientific. You can't multitask. And people are like, I'm a multitasker. I just multitask all the time. You're living below your efficiency. And more than that, listen to this. When you're like, you know what, God, I'm just going to have some prayer time while I'm cooking dinner and I'm taking a shower and I'm doing my makeup and I'm driving to work. That's when I'm going to do my prayer time. It's like saying this, baby, we're going to go on a date, but while we're on a date, I'm just be cooking dinner. Is that cool? I'd love to spend some intimate time with you, sugar, but I'm going to be doing my makeup while I'm doing that. Consider carefully what you hear. The same measure that you use is what will be given back to you. Would you take time to meet with the creator of heaven and earth to give you insight for your life, to give you power for living? You wonder why you're stuck in the same old rut, going through the same old cycles. You don't consider what you hear at all. Let me rephrase that. We don't consider what we hear at all. And God will take you to the next level, next level, next level when you value what he says. And he's speaking to your heart. He's speaking through his word. He's speaking through people around you all of the time. Consider carefully what you hear. Second one. Oh, I was going to say, if you want more proof on this multitasking thing, you can't actually do two things at once. Your brain switches from one to the other. It's sequential. So you think you're like typing and then calling and then listening to something and then you're doing that all at once, your brain is actually flipping around. So you can't lend any focus to what God is actually doing in your life. God, speak to me. Oh, let me advance this real quick. God, speak to me. Oh, yep, I'll be there on Tuesday. Oh, yep. I wonder what's happening. Why won't God speak to me? Brandon, just not hearing clearly. Yeah, you're hearing just fine the things that you want to hear. Another thing that is a hindrance is sin. People are like, oh, yeah, well, I'm clean. I know what I'm doing. You know, some people are like, oh, Lord, I'm never going to hear. Just serious, right? You know who you are. You're like, oh, here we go. I'm so glad I'm sinless. Some people are like, oh, 1972. Oh, my gosh, yes. I'm never going to hear God ever again. Summer 69, yep. Sin at its purest definition, is missing the mark. Missing more. Now, most of the time, we equate sin with not pleasing God. We equate sin with, I've done this, and God is angry at me. And so he withholds himself from me because I'm not perfect enough. I don't hear, I'm not good enough to have God speak to me. Okay? And so oftentimes, what we do is to silence that feeling of inadequacy, of failure, we actually make ourselves busy and quit hearing the word of God because we know what we think he is going to say. You messed up. You blew it. I can't use you because of what you did. There's no way you'll ever fulfill your plan A for your life now because you blew it. You're going to have to go with like plan Z. But hopefully we'll do something with that because, you know, I do need you to do something, but we just keep going down the right. But sin is actually this. It's missing the mark. It's actually God saying, here, I want you to hit that target, and then you may hit the target, but you miss the bullseye. So actually, you're sinning way more than you even think. Congratulations. You're counting the times God's like, hey, hit that target. You're like, sure thing, bro. Missed it by a mile. But God's idea of sin in your life is, I've got a purpose and a design for you. I want you to shoot here and hit this mark. And we keep hitting around, maybe missing, whatever. But you know what? God is actually, he says this. Faith is what pleases me. The person who just puts the arrow in the bow and shoots, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, what if I miss? How about you just believe me for once? See, the problem with rules that we see is we go, okay, our minds are so fried to this. It's like, I've got to do all these things to be on God's good side. And when I don't, then it always costs me something. And yes, sin will cost you something. But God's perspective is, I know what sin does to you. It actually detours you from my best, not because I withhold it from you, but because you miss it for a lesser thing. Holding on to bitterness, there's freedom, but you just want to be bitter. Can't let it go. Sin. I want you to like stop lying and tell the truth. And you're like, well, he's like, well, you don't understand that those lies are actually keeping you from where I want to get you. You keep lying to yourself. It's destroying the relationships around you. You keep telling yourself different stories than what I've said about you. Now, these are just the little sins, right? How many times do we abandon God's purpose for some other thing that we thought was great in a moment? And then we actually miss what God wanted to give us because we weren't in the right place at the right time. And so now we got to keep going around, trying to get to that place, listening to directions again. But it's not that simple. It's not like, okay, God, I'll do it your way. It usually goes like this. I'm such a loser. Why did I do that? God can never use me. And then we spend another 40 years in the wilderness trying to figure out why we were so stupid until God finally goes, I love you. Would you just follow me? I've got an amazing plan A for your life. Sin is keeping you from God's best. And the idea is this, that Jesus paid for your sin so that you could receive his gift of love, that he loves you so immensely. And so oftentimes you think that you are held back from hearing God's voice because of sin. Listen to this. When God has never stopped speaking, you've just removed yourself from hearing God's word. It's the idea in your mind. And you're like, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. Why won't you forgive me? The Bible says that he has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. That he will forgive your iniquity and remember your sins no more. Why can't I hear God? I know why it is. Because I did that. God's like, you did what? You know, God. No. I actually blot out your transgressions for my sake. That's what the Bible says. For my sake. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus said, I blot out your transgressions for your sake so you can come hang with me. I'm so great, so mighty. Yes, you are great and mighty, but he actually blots them out for his own sake. Because he has love, he has purpose, he has design, he has a destiny for you, and he wants to get you there. Said, for my sake and what I want to do with your life and how much I love you and how crazy I'm about you and how I'm talking to you over and over and over again, but you keep watching too much Friends. I love you and I've forgiven your sins so that we could have this relationship. somebody come along and say, well, how could you hear God? You don't, blah, blah, blah. I've just learned to hear. Learn to hear. Considering carefully his words. What would change in your life if you would consider carefully his words? What thing do you keep asking God to change, but you won't consider carefully his words? I'll give you some words that he has said about you. I love you. That I know the plans that I have for you. Before you, I have formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. That I catch your tears and I put them in a bottle. That I heal all your sins. Forgive all your sins and heal all your diseases. That he is ordering your steps and you can rejoice in it. The words of God are important to consider carefully. And I urge you to hear them and live by them. They'll change your life. And don't let it be down the road when finally it's disclosed and like, oh, all the time this power was there. There's things that God showed me when I was 17 years old that I actually denied until I was in my 30s. Like, man, I wish I would have believed this then. But I'll leave the other words instead of God's words. Bow your heads and close your eyes. A friend of mine texted me this morning at 5 a.m. Said, I'm praying for you. Preach today. He said, God is actually, I'm going to get the words wrong. But he says he's adding, he's fulfilling, he's expanding what you're doing. He's expanding what you're doing. Now, he said, this doesn't mean money. It doesn't mean stuff, and it doesn't mean people. God is actually expanding the places that he is going to fill with your life. See, there's a story where a woman brings jars and fills them up with oil. He says there's people in your church that are actually opening themselves up to be filled by God, and God is going to expand them to hear and to be filled to greater capacity. This is what he said about you in this room. If you're here today and you say that, I feel that. I feel God in that. Like God has been stretching me and moving me. And it's like, even when I try to get away from it, it's like God keeps bringing me back. It's like, no, you need to get to ES first. You need to get back there because something's happening. It's like God's putting you in a position where his bucket is going to open up and just pour in this spot, and for some reason, you can't get away from it. He wants you to be here. And every time you make an excuse and you try to go on vacation, you feel sick to your stomach, like you're going to miss it. I'm here to tell you prophetically from the voice of God that God is filling the places in your life that you'll give him space. If you bring a jar, he'll fill it. If you bring a bucket, he'll fill it. If you bring a dump truck, he'll fill it. Whatever you bring is what he wants to fill in your life. He wants to do more in you than you have ever imagined. And this moment begins that journey. It begins a place where you say, yes, God, I want to be a part of my plan A. Anything that's been distracting you from those words, get rid of them. And consider carefully what God is doing. He loves you. He cares for you. The Bible says you are his beloved. That you're like a bride that he is coming for. You're his prized possession. The one he wants to spend the rest of his life with. And any voice that stands against that truth is a lie. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that you are pouring out your word in our life, the love of God. Lord, forgive us of sin. Forgive us of times when we missed it, and help us to shoot again, full of faith, to know that you are in us, working to fulfill your good pleasure and what you want in us. Your grace is sufficient. It's enough, God. We stand in it. We live in it. We grow in it. Help us to be all that you've called us to be. To consider your words carefully and deeply. To be everything that you want. Everything that you desire. Let us not ever settle for less than your best for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a big praise today.